Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful we can come together and look into your word and praise your holy name. And God, I pray this morning as we just look into the subject of Jesus, the I Am, that you would just touch our hearts and give us insight. And Lord, just that help us to realize the magnitude of who Jesus is and what he's done. And so we just thank you up front, and I pray you anoint me. I just speak things of the Spirit, and I pray each heart will be open in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. As you see this morning, the title of the message is Jesus the I Am. And this is a little bit of a review. I mean, because a couple of weeks ago, we went over the whole thing about the words I am and why Jesus used them. So we will pick up right there and see how Jesus is presenting himself to the people around him. So let's look at John chapter 6, verse 35. Now, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 6, because I'm going to quote a lot of scripture from 6, and I don't have the overheads put up there, but most of our time will be spent in John chapter 6, all right? So here we are. We're going to kick off here with John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, in context, you know, here, giving some context to where Jesus is and what he's saying, Jesus is declaring himself as the I Am. And this causes believers, definitely the Jews, it causes the believers to think back on Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when God told Moses that his name was I Am. Now, who are you? He goes, I Am. And which means the pre-existing one, the self-sustaining one. Who are you? I Am. And Exodus 3:14 says this, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. And so this is the context that this is coming at. And remember, he's talking to Jewish people here, okay? They understood this piece. There's a lot they didn't understand. The religious leaders definitely understood, but all the people, the Jewish people, understood what this meant. So it wasn't new. It was new that Jesus said it about himself, but it wasn't new information. So here we go. We look at this for us and what God's telling us. If we believe us, okay, that Jesus is the I Am, the pre-existing one, the self-sustaining one, if we believe that wholeheartedly, it answers all sorts of questions, all right? And here's a kind of a test, you know, for us. It's a test. Do we believe this, and do we embrace this, and how does it impact our body as a church? How does it impact who we are and how we function, okay? So say we have lots of questions. Well, Jesus is the I Am. Answer those questions, all right? And it goes to the fundamental of what we believe. If we told Jesus, ask Jesus this, prove creation. Jesus, prove creation. And Jesus would say, I am. That's the answer. That is the answer to creation. Jesus said, I am. All creation came from him. He's the source. See, all he has to do is explain himself. The rest of it came from him. Just think up things. You know, Jesus proved that the Big Bang Theory is wrong. Jesus says, I am. He just proved it wrong. He said, I am. I was before anything that ever banged. I am. So, I mean, I hope you see the depth of what he's saying here is really fantastic. Now, you know, we have all sorts of questions about evolution. You know, well, what about evolution? And, you know, What should we know? Jesus goes, I am. Where did man come from? I am. See? Jesus has all the information and everything flowed out from him. Okay? And so that's all he has to say. I can prove creation. I can prove that you didn't evolve because I am. I am. And so when you take this whole thing into our life, and as we begin and we function in this life, where's a foundational thing? Where do we start? A foundational comment. And, you know, it's, you know, no one can help but be flabbergasted at some of the moral issues, you know, just defiance in the face of facts and everything, but even some questionable areas, all these crazy kind of moral issues that have been thrown up against us, and, you know, like transgender and homosexuality, and say, Lord Jesus, you know, why should we stand on the Word of God? Why should we? And Jesus would say, because I am. I am. See, it changes our whole perspective. Now, if we question him as being the I am in any of these issues, we will be confused to the degree we question him. We will be less confused to the degree we believe him. And it's funny when, like Jesus, I mean, when you take up an issue and just like, okay, go through the details like that. He goes, what are you talking about? I am. That was my paraphrase. I am. So you have to, when we look at this, we have the whole idea. Who do we believe in? Who do we trust? We both trust in Jesus, who is the great I am. All things has flows from him. And the issue is not all these questions around us. It's the issue of what we believe about him. He was a good prophet. You've still got questions. When he is the I am, you know, we don't have any questions. I mean, I don't know what's that, but I know where he is, and he just revealed the truth. So with that basis, it gives us wisdom to move forward, and the things around us, we put in perspective, all right? So it's really great to grasp these words, I am, these specific words that we've gone over, which God said about himself in Exodus 3:14. He goes, I am. Yeah. And again, notice Moses says, who are you? He goes, I am. What do I tell them? Tell them, I am sent you. See, that's the context. That's the context of the world we live in. And so, this is what Jesus, as he steps onto the scene here, that's what he says. Now, as you can imagine, now we have the scriptures and the Bible, and, you know, we're looking, as you can imagine, this caused a stir among the people he is talking to. Now, they were Israel, by the way, we know where Israel is, you know, they seem like they just stay in trouble all the time, you know, but we know where they are, same country. Well, that's where he was, Jew in Israel. They had the history of the Old Testament, so there's that knowledge there, and so these are the people. Now, they know the details, but they understood the principles. They understood the principles. And so when he comes up and says this to them, you know, I am the bread of life, it's like, okay, I can go with Exodus 3:14, you know, God, but not you. Who are you? See, there is a real big stir among the people because they understood what he was saying. And again, there's a big crowd. Just before this, they fed 5,000 men plus women and children. So a bunch of folks are following him about now. Bunch of folks. So there's a stir. And they said to him, just listen closely, in John 6:30, this is what they said to him. So they said to him, if this is true, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now notice what they did. Rightly so. They went to the Old Testament. Jews. Okay, they knew the info, you know, and it's like Jesus had already done bunches of miracles. He'd done really incredible miracles up to this point. Not to leave out feeding the 5,000. That was a miracle. And they were well aware that he fed the 5,000, you know. But he had not convinced the crowds about who he was. He fed 5,000. Wait a minute. They weren't convinced who he was. Now, they thought it was really neat that he fed them. I mean, that was like, wow. I mean, they went and told their neighbors, you got to see this guy. This is something else. But they didn't know who he was. They didn't know who he was. And then he drops this on them. I'm the bread of life. You know, and he causes, you know, some discomfort from them, all right? But notice here, when he says this to these people, and you see the foundation for the Old Testament and the foundation that Christ came in Israel and fulfilling the Old Testament, and this is what he said. He said, they confronted Jesus by going back to their history in Exodus, when Moses supplied food for the people of Israel. Okay, they're going that. And basically, this is what they were telling him. Okay, can you match what Moses did? That's what they were saying. Can you do what Moses did? We got Moses. We know what Moses did. Can you do that? Can you do that? They're looking for a miracle or a sign. Now, in Jesus, in this context, in Jesus, in answering them, Jesus adds a little clarification to their explanation. So here's how Jesus answered them, you know, with this question. And in John 6:32, it says here, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. Okay, it was God. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. And then he goes on to say, but my father gives you true bread from heaven. Now see, Jesus, now he connects back with their story, their accuracy. You know, he says, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread, but it's the Father, my Father, who gives you true bread from heaven. He's using that whole context. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. All right? In the Old Testament, God the Father gave the Jews bread from heaven, manna. Now, God the Father gives true bread, for the bread of God is Jesus. It's important, we're going to see this a couple more times. It's important that we follow this because it's going to give us lots of insight into the Old Testament. What did Jesus tell the Pharisee? You know, Pharisees, he'd speak to them and him, and he'd go, you have the scriptures, they speak of me. What are you talking about? He's talking about this and other things just like this. He's also talking to us. When we read that we can see Christ in the Old Testament, and we see Christ fulfilled. We have the whole thing here. And so you have this situation that Jesus, the bread of God is Jesus, who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So he's communicating that he came to heaven, and just like we eat bread to have life, that he comes down from heaven and he gives life. There's a connection. He's explaining to them the spiritual and how the spiritual works. You know, and he's using the physical so that they can understand how the spiritual works. Now, And here's the, you know, if you're a Jewish, well, it's anybody, but if you're the Jewish people following him, this is like, wait a minute. I mean, this is a, you know, like a boxer, this is coming from right, bam, to the jaw. It's like, what did he just say? See, Jesus goes from the physical bread to himself as the bread from heaven who gives life to the world. Amen? See what he did? Jesus just confirmed that the Bible is the unfolding revelation of Christ. He just proved it. He just proved it. This is what it is. Old Testament manna is New Testament Jesus. Don't forget that. Old Testament manna is New Testament Jesus. The Jews were in the wilderness and manna from heaven, and they survived. No, they were like in the desert. And Christ came down and kept them alive. That's the picture. That's a picture of the church. That's a picture of the church. The whole thing is a picture of the church. The church is in the desert of this world, which is craziness going around us, and Jesus comes down and feeds us the spiritual life of himself. That's how we survive. Going back to the extent we understand that he is I am, is the extent that we'll have peace in this world. To the extent we don't understand I am he, when he says I am, is the extent that we will be frustrated in this world. See? Belief system. Now, Jesus does not merely give bread. He is bread. Now, process these words. You know, I mean, he doesn't give bread. He doesn't merely give bread. He is bread. Bread keeps me alive. He is the bread. He keeps us alive. See, and he's trying to pass this on where we can put our arms around it and put our arms around the spiritually what he is doing. Now, however, the people like us, a lot of times, and definitely those that don't know Jesus, the people hear this and they are bound in physical provision. I mean, they hadn't moved. These folks, they heard that, but they didn't move off physical provision. They're still there, okay? And it's like, okay, you're the bread of life. Okay, give us some of it. I mean, that's what they did. I mean, they heard him, but they're not comprehending. They're not comprehending. And that's the reason Jesus says, I'm the spiritual bread of life, and you eat this bread and you live, and now you come to me. He's trying to explain to them how we can live in this world. All right? And they don't get it. They don't get it. All right? Now, we get it. Amen? Okay, we get it. This is what they say. John 6, 34. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. I want my table set all the time. I want all the time. Give us this bread always. They didn't see he was the bread of life. They just said, well, okay, he did the 5,000. Maybe he can just do this all the time. Okay, we're into you supplying bread the whole time. Come on, give us bread the whole time. Now, that says a little bit about Christianity where we say, God is the provider of all physical things, which is true. But when we base our life on that, we're no different than these people. See, we're basing our life on physical food. Therefore, we never do break loose of the chains and have peace and praising God as supplier for all things because we tie Jesus totally to the physical. You see? So you get messed up. In a religious sense, you get messed up. You know, our spirituality is based on our material things. Lots of stuff, lots of glory, no stuff, no glory. Now, he does provide for us physically, but that's not his main thing. He gives us peace with whatever we have and promises to provide whatever we need. And we will never go without because we believe on him. You know. So, and this is what Jesus is trying to pass on to them. They don't understand it. So they say, "Sir, always give us this bread." Now, so you got these folks. We understand where they are right now. Okay. Now Jesus rocks their world. Okay. Now, these are religious people. You got the Jews were religious people. Okay. And so off base, but religious. All right. So he just like, "All right, folks, here's the truth. I'm going to drop something on you right now. You ready?" They're looking for a loaf of bread. And Jesus reveals himself as the I am. And this is our verse, John 6:35. Jesus said to them, see, he's answering their question, "Always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am. I am the bread of life. Always give us this bread." They said, "Always give us this bread." He goes, "I am the bread of life." Now, how many of you have thought, like, "Nah, that's not what I was talking about." Wait a minute. You know, you're not really connecting with me. You know, I just want a loaf of bread. I don't know what this is. You know, see, but this is what Jesus is doing. Giving them the pictures, he's giving us the picture. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Now, I'm going to just throw something out. We're here in the same group and hearing the same thing. When he said, "You'll never hunger," what is he talking about? Bread? Spiritual. You'll never hunger. I fulfill everything you have, every hole in your heart. No depression in me, no hurt in me, before me. I'm going to spiritually fulfill everything. Nothing can go wrong that I won't feed you and care for you in that situation. You will be able to stand there with strength and power. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. You'll never thirst spiritually. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. You'll walk with me in my full provision. And you'll in power. And as a side note, I will provide all the physical things you need. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying right here. And so, as he goes on, he says, "I am. Give us this bread." And he goes, "I am." Which is saying, "I am the pre-existing, self-sustaining I am." That's who he says he is. The pre-existing, self-sustaining I am. That's your answer. That's the answer to every question. That's the answer. He's saying, "I am your life and I am your sustainer. By the way, I will feed you. By the way, I will feed you. But I am your life. I am your sustainer." And how best to prove that he is our spiritual life and our spiritual sustainer than to say, it's like eating bread for the physical. When you can see me in the spiritual, I'm your sustainer. I'm your life. It changes. Your life changes. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling them. That's what he's telling them. Now, and so is our sustainer. He is the one who is our food, our drink, and our life. That is what he's saying. He said, "I am your food, I am your drink, I am your life. I'll sustain you." And this is the things that he says, "Rejoice in me always." Why? Because he's our food, our drink, our life. With nothing to do but rejoice. Now, as we rejoice in that, there are certainly provisions he put us in this world, and he tells us. But he's telling us, you got to know who I am, and I am. I am. All right. Well, notice I have an overhead here. Change overhead's fine. Like Colossians 3:4, and you understand what's being said here in Colossians 3:4. It says here, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ is who? Christ is your life. Christ is your I am. See, that's how when we come back with the I am, and he is our I am. See, the whole connection is him being the I am, and we be believing he's I am, and that controls everything about us and how we function. He is the I am. You know, people said, explain to them. And I'm being a little bit facetious, but not really. Explain this to me. First of all, you can't explain it to them. Most of them don't want to answer, okay? So I don't know why we spend our time. They don't want to answer, you know? And if you could explain it, they don't have the spiritual capacity to understand. Ever notice that? There's no spiritual capacity. So the best answer you can give is like, explain it to me. Jesus is the great I am, pre-existing, sustaining, gives life. He is the I am. That's the answer. But they're going to say, but anyway. Won't you give them an answer to hang on to? Jesus is the I am. Let them hang on that until they figure that out. And until they figure that out, they'll never figure the other questions out. I mean, it's just the way it is. Jesus is the I am. Why do we do what we do? I can't explain everything, but Jesus is the I am, and I know it. I know. So, and this is what Jesus is also trying to communicate. This is exactly what he's trying to communicate. Now, so Jesus, as it says here, he describes who Jesus is, who is our life. Yeah. Well, I go to church on Sunday. I don't get it, you know. Well, I read my Bible every day. I didn't get it. I pray every day. I didn't get it. What gives it? When you know Jesus is my life, that gets it. That gets it. Jesus is my life. Now, because he is your life, you should read your Bible every day because he is your life. You know, hey, I won't come to church, and yet I enjoy it because Jesus is my life. And I'll join a bunch of other people who Jesus is their life. See? You see what I'm saying? The thing of it is us to believe that Jesus is the I am, which is very in the very beginning of the Gospel of John, what Jesus tells everybody. Haven't you ever wondered why when Jesus came? Now, I mean, he's just among the poor folk, and he's talking to people, not the elite, you know, who he's, I mean, they show up, see what's going on. You know, haven't you ever wondered why Jesus came in and out on a white horse and did, you know, call down some fire here and thing. He could make a stink. You know, I mean, he could have came into the world like that. You know, he could have walked into the temple and the people just dropped down, which happens in the Old Testament. He could have stood above Caesar Augustus, who was in power, you know, and like, here I am. He didn't do it. He did not do it. Now, we want to do that, you know, and he's not going to let us do that because he didn't do that. What he's going to do is say, listen, you need to understand who I am. And God will do what he wants to, but how he touches his people is he explains that Jesus is the bread of life and we have to live off of him. We survive off of him. We have strength through him. And he goes, now it's, okay, me and you. Now God will do as you see fit. See, it's not about the world. It's about me and you. Isn't that crazy? See, that's how he works. And this is why he did what he did. Now, Christ is our life. And we start grasping this. If he's our life, he supersedes creation. He supersedes all religions and all human intellect. You know, I have XYZ degree, and this is the smartest man in the world. What do you want to know? Nothing. I just want to know Jesus, because what Jesus is and what he says supersedes your inlet. By the way, our world is in the position it is today because of human inlet. It is. I mean, and I'm not against, I think kids go to college and I think you get a good job. I'm all for that. But you need to put it in the right perspective. Right perspective. See? Right perspective. And Jesus supersedes all inlet. And Jesus is the one whom we are to seek. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. When he says, I'm the bread of life, that's exactly what he's saying. He just really, isn't he smart? Talk about intellect and smart. Jesus is really smart. Show me who you are, Jesus, what you do. Okay, ready? I am the bread of life. What else are you? I mean, but see, that when you tear that apart, I mean, he's everything. I'm the pre-existing one, sustaining one, and bread of life. That's it. You don't need anything else. It's all going to come, come from that. Now, so God bless, not I could say God bless the Jews or God bless anyone who's listening to Jesus for the first time, okay? And so here they are. I mean, can you imagine? Feeding the 5,000. He just said this to him. They're all gathered around, and so this conversation's going on, and he just tells them, I'm the bread of life. They were thirst, they were hungry. Then he says, John 6:41. So the Jews grumbled. I mean, today's language. Jews goes, get out of here. Get out of here. Not happening. It's not happening. It says this. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Not only we don't believe you, it really, really irritating us that you said it. You know, I mean, we don't like you being the bread of life. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I have come down from heaven? What does the world say? What does the world say? Who said he came down from heaven? Who's that? I mean, we act like that's new. Oh, my goodness. They don't believe in Jesus. And they're saying, of course, they don't. Of course they don't. They never did. Oh, if Jesus was just before them and would speak to them, they still wouldn't believe. Understand that. Oh, if Jesus was here, he could. They still wouldn't believe. Understand what we're dealing with. They would not believe. All through the scripture, it said they were before Jesus and they didn't believe. They didn't believe. And so when we stand before people, well, they didn't believe me. They didn't believe Jesus. And you know, when you share the gospel and they believe, I'll tell you why they believe. You want to know why they believe? When you share the gospel and they believe because God reached out and touched them. It's God touch is the reason they believe. Now, you shared the gospel and you're supposed to, but it's not until God touches them. And you'll find out when you shared the gospel with some people that God has touched them previously and put a burning in their heart to seek. See? And we share the gospel and it comes to fruition. From the fruition. Sharing the gospel with people who believe is like picking ripe apples. Have you ever been apple tree? Have you ever pulled off green apples? I mean, you can almost swing on a green apple. I mean, that thing's stuck there. You ever seen a big red apple? You ever picked it? All you gotta do is put your hand under it and you tap it. You tap it, it falls in your hand. Because it's ripe. You know, and some of us just enjoy swinging from green apple to green apple, you know, whatever, you know. But I tell you what, when they're ripe, just touch it, you know, and something, it didn't fall. It ain't going either. It's green. See, just touch the bottom of it. And that's right. You see what I'm saying? There's something bigger. We have to understand what Jesus is trying to say. what he's done. He is the bread of life. Now, so here they have, again, they've come back with Jesus and says, how can you say this? You know, we know your mom and dad. You know, I kind of, how many of you done that before? And now this is, I'm being facetious. I came to know Jesus. Now, I know your mom and dad. You ain't come to know nothing. You know, it's that, yeah, no, yeah. Not only I know your mom and dad, I know you. See, nothing's changed. It's like nothing's changed. And so God's telling us how he functions in this world. Okay, so, but what he is saying here, when he comes back and he, when they say, how can you say I've come down for heaven? Jesus is going to answer them again. He comes back and answers them again. And we need to learn from this because this is how God functions through us. Jesus answers them again by tying the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's going to answer, but he's going to tie the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now again, they're Jews, so they get it, but still the principle is correct. You tie the Old Testament to the New Testament. And Jesus declares, now he's going to declare again, that he is the living bread. See, he's moving. I mean, he's shaking these people's world from this bread, and he's calling the bread living. Okay, now the living bread, and he says he is this living bread, and whoever devours the living bread, whoever consumes the living bread, now stop. Whoever devours, what's the living bread? Jesus. How do you survive? I have this loaf of bread. And I keep it on my coffee table. You know, it's been there for 10 years. Like that. That's living bread, you know. No, that's what you're talking about. We have a loaf of bread, and we eat that thing, okay? And that keeps us alive, see? And Jesus goes, I'm the living bread. Therefore, you have to live, you have to devour it. Devour. You know what? One of the things God says he hates, lukewarm. Lukewarm. See, he goes, no, you have the living bread, you have to devour it. You have to consume it. And if you devour the living word, then he says this. And this is what he said. I don't hear a lot of people preach on this, but this is what he says. He goes, then you will not die and you'll live forever. That's what he says. Now, what does that mean? He means, okay, you'll shed the body, go be with God. You won't die. You just shed the body. You know, later on, I give you another one. Okay, I always loved it. Everybody paints their little cheek. Okay, that's not you. That's not you. You is inside. You is who you are inside. And when you die, this falls away, but you is alive, and it goes to be with Christ. And Christ says, I'll give you another body. And this is why he says here, if you consume Christ, if you consume him, you devour him, he said, you will not die. You will live forever. That's what he means. She shed the body. I mean, we are saying, hallelujah. I mean, hallelujah. Okay, now listen to the scripture here. And just several verses here, so I'm just read through this. So Jesus is answering all this. He said, we know your mom and dad. We know. You can't. Man, no way. No way you're the bread that came down from heaven. So here's Jesus' answer to them. I am. You got the choice. You know, you can keep the bread on the coffee table, or you can say, he is, you know, and take it in. He says, I am the bread of life. Now remember, he's talking to these Jews. This is not new information in the Old Testament. These guys knew this, okay? They knew this. He's just putting the perspective, the truth behind it. He goes, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. There's a difference between the bread, manna, and me. You eat that, you die. Not me. Not me. The bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. I mean, he is blowing these people's minds on their old view of the Old Testament. He's blowing their minds. Okay, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now, he said, he will live forever. I'm going to ask you something. Who said that? Who said he will live forever? I know I'm messing with your heads a little bit, but who said it right here? Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? He just said, you'll live forever. He said it. All right? It's like, well, our perspective changes. Our perspective changes. Anyone who eats this bread, he will live forever. Ever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, he's really made another big transition here. He's pulling them to something, you know, they don't have any concept of here. And he says, In this bread that gives life to the world is my flesh. And we'll see as we go on through here, like next week and the week after, they go, okay, you just keep going the wrong direction for us. You know, it's not making sense. This is just not making sense. But let's just summarize it for here. And it's a teaser to come for the next 2 weeks. We'll have a lot of fun with it. Okay, let me just give you a summary right quick. Okay, Jesus is the life-giving, sustaining bread. That's what he says, all right? And the summary here of these verses is what Jesus said. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven. We may eat this bread and not die. Okay, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Who eats this bread will live forever. Live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, we're going to be wrapping this up right here, and it says here, a great witness to our faith is that we will not die and live forever. If you just want to make a statement sometimes, the non-believers, you can do whatever you want to. Argue about it. Just tell them, I'm not going to die. I mean, that'll get you a good conversation. But the one thing about that conversation, it brings it back on substance. It doesn't make any difference to you. One thing that people, there's kind of a uniform thing. People don't want to die. They don't want to do it. I was listening to this atheist. I won't mention his name, but he's quite well to do. He says, this is not fair. I got all this stuff. I'm going to die. He said, that's not fair to get all this. And you just die. And then there's nothing. You know? I think it is less than you think there is. But anyway, see. But the hope that people don't want to die. You just say, we're not going to die. How can you say that? Real easy. Come to chapter 6 of John. Just hang out there for a while with them. All right? Say, I'm not going to die. Hey, I know whatever you believe and God bless you and you're so smart. I just want to let you know, you're going to die. I mean, you could really get catty with that. You're going to die, buddy. I ain't. See, Jesus wouldn't bless that at all. But do you see what I'm saying? Jesus said, we're not going to die. Everyone dies. And everyone knows that they're going to die. Everyone in history die. Everyone in the future die. I mean, it's a given. It's going to die. So, that really is a good testimony on our part, that we will not die. Now, Jesus guarantees this by his flesh. Now, what he's saying here, you're looking at this fella, here he's talking to him, he guarantees this by his flesh, his bodily, finite, historical form of Christ, his flesh, he is going to yield up to the world by his death. See? Now, what he's speaking of. We know what he's speaking of. They know what he's speaking of. What he's speaking of right here, he's talking about the cross. He's telling them right here, I'm going to the cross. He's telling them. Now, and it talks about the disciples, that they didn't understand this until after he arose. So he's telling them he's going to the cross. Now, and so so what we have, Jesus, the Logos, the Word, who became flesh, and he became bread of life for a sinful world by going to the cross. Now, y'all with me? Amen. But you see what he's showing us? He's showing us with a picture so that we can understand. He's trying to help us grasp how, so we can understand spiritually what's going on. All right? Now, this helps us also to grasp something else, the Lord's Supper. God leaves us two ordinances, baptism, Lord's Supper. Why? None of them save us, but he says do it anyway. You know, baptism and the Lord's service. But what we have here in the Lord's Supper, what we have in the Lord's Supper is a perpetual statement of the renewal of our faith. That's what we're doing. We say that, and it's a perpetual statement, physical statement of our faith. He wants us to remember. And this is the physical statement that we understand that he is the great I am. And once we do this, we think about, well, this is really, communion is really important. First of all, Jesus tells us that makes it important. I mean, he leaves two ordinances and we don't want to do them. You know, I mean, he leaves two, all right? So he said, I want you to do this physically so you remember. And and physically you see this and it's going to cause you to remember my glory and that you don't die. Amen? So I thought it'd be a good thing to have communion this morning. After the message, all right? So we're going to have communion. And I'll have the ushers here to pass out the bread and the juice to pass this out. But I want us to think about this. I mean, you hear a message and you go, I mean, some of you, that just wasn't that good. You won't sleep through the message. You know, well, that's okay. Not that anybody would ever do that. But there's a reality. There's a reality that Jesus says, I want you to do things. I want you to remember stuff. I want you to apply stuff in this. I want you to walk away and to be able to apply what I have. I want you to remember that I am the great I am. I want you to remember I am the great I am. I want you to remember that I am life and I am the sustaining one. And so as we... And he says, and to tell us that he's on the bread of life. So it ties to communion. We take communion. It's the bread of life. Is it the bread of life? It's an element that reminds us of the life. See, it's not the life. It reminds us of the life. And he knows we need to be reminded. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, because we forget. We need to come together. There's certain things that he gives. And again, we do. There's a lot of church stuff to do, and people do a lot of things, and that's just fine, you know. These are the only two ordinances he left, the baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptized once, and he said continually do the Lord's Supper. So let's just take this and have the bread, you know, have the... And I want you to think a minute about this. The bread... The whole section has been about the bread. What is the bread? It's Jesus. The bread is Jesus. You see? Think about that. Think about the bread is Jesus. The great I am. The great I am. He goes, I give life. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. Never hunger. Never thirst. And Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, the great I am. So if you would, just take the bread. Just take the bread. Just take the bread. Just take the bread. Lord Jesus, as we take this bread and we just do this in honor of you, and we take this bread and we're fully acknowledging that you are the great I am. We are fully acknowledging you are the living bread that came down to give us life. Yes, God. Yes, God. We believe that. We trust in that. Our whole life being is that you are our life. Thank you, God. Now, Jesus also said to take the cup. And the whole connection of the living bread, and we're going to see this transition of the flesh. You know, it, you know, you take this bread, you know, and this bread I will give you is my flesh. Okay, well, it's the flesh. There was a shedding of blood, shedding of blood. And Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Take the cup, please. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave your life for us. We thank you, dear God, that we will never die. We thank you, dear God, we will never die. We give thanks to you that you're the great I am, that you are the sustainer. We give all thanks to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You can pass the cups to the center, and some of the ushers will pick those up. And then in closing, first of all, I hope no one will ever look at communion the same. I hope you'll never look at communion the same. It's like we are sitting down and sharing the cup of the bread and the wine, acknowledging Jesus is the great I am. The great I am. We are saying we believe that. We believe that he is the great I am. And we're saying we believe he is our life. He is our sustenance. There's a depth to that. There's a depth to that. So Jesus is our life, our sustainer. Overhead here, John 3:16. Doesn't this change? Doesn't this verse change? For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus is telling these people, look, I am the living bread. Please come. I am the living bread. The body, Jesus in his body showed the perfect life of God. Jesus, in his body, paid for our failures. And Jesus, and by consuming who Jesus is, we proclaim he's our life and sustainer. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.